may be seated. You know, it's a great time in our nation. We're no longer slaves in the spiritual realm, and we're no longer slaves in the natural realm. This past Thursday, President Biden signed into a law making June 19th or Juneteenth a national holiday to celebrate the freedom of slaves. Praise the Lord. Well, now, some of you that don't know this, being from Texas, I do, but it was, that's the day 2 years after President Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation. They finally got a hold of it down there. But you got to remember, back then we didn't have what we have today. I mean, information wasn't very free. Hello? In fact, some of you that are old enough to remember World War II, we had to wait till they had the newsreel come on and show it at the theater to know what was happening overseas. And so now, I think about 1980, people in Texas had known about it, and I think about 1980 it actually became a holiday in Texas, but now it's a national holiday. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I was talking to Dan at before service, and he said, and I told him, you know, I was going to make a statement, and which I'm glad to do. But he said, hey, our song has got, I didn't know this, but our song is going to go right along with that. How many of y'all realize that? We're singing No Longer a Slave, but we don't, hey, listen, we don't have to be a slave to anything. Hello, praise the Lord. Well, today is Father's Day. Let's have all the fathers stand. Great group of people. Amen. You know, we're going to see a little video now that they have prepared.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Why do I like holding you?
Happy Father's Day.
All right. Kids can say some of the things. Anybody old enough to remember Art Linkletter? Remember his show about kids? You know, this is sort of funny. Got it? It says, what is fatherhood? Fatherhood's going anywhere you want for Father's Day. Getting to drive there, and then even to getting to pay the bill. It's getting up in the middle of the night and see what the noise was outside when you'd rather stay in bed and hide like everybody else. It's the best excuse in the world to buy all those toys you wanted as a child and never got. It's catching yourself watching cartoons when no one else is home and then enjoying them. It's biting your tongue and remembering to be a good example when someone cuts you off on the highway. It's playing Santa at midnight on Christmas Eve and then paying for the privilege at 22% interest for 36 consecutive months. It's assembling toys that require one screwdriver and a nuclear physics to assemble. It's praying for and anxiously looking forward to the day when your kids will be out of the house and on their own, and then trying to postpone that day as long as possible when it approaches. It's carrying sleeping kids into the house when you're too tired to even carry yourself. Yes, fatherhood is sometimes a thankless job of fixing bikes, breaking up fights, wiping up chocolate milk, dental bills, broken arms, skateboards. But today, fathers, we want to say we appreciate you. You know, in 1 Chronicles, I want to get it here because I want to read it. David is speaking to his son Solomon. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage. Do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." This was David giving his son Solomon instructions concerning the building of the temple. Now, in this verse, as David is giving these final words to his son, we see a couple of things here. We see his heart for God and his heart for his son. Now, David was a man who is famous, as we know, for following God all the days of his life. Even in the natural, David lived a life that made him outstanding. A shepherd boy that became a musician and a songwriter, a young man that was a giant killer, and then became a successful military leader, a young man that married into the royal family because he killed Goliath. I guess you might say David was an original Robin Hood, because as he was fleeing from King Saul that was trying to kill him, he picked up all of these unwanted people and they become his followers and eventually become his mighty men. He was anointed king and provided strong leadership over the land of Israel unto his death. His strongest point was that he was an advocate of his Jehovah God. And he served him all of his life. Actually, he's referred to as a man after God's own heart. And I mean, stories about David and quotes about David can be found in a lot of places, because people have taken his quotes out of Psalms and made songs out of them, have put them on placards and stuck them on their walls. Centuries of time have now separated us from David. But with all of this distance, I believe there's something that we can learn about being fathers from looking at this man, David. I see in these verses that we read a man of great conviction. He spoke of his belief in his God. And I think if there's ever a time that has existed in humanity, that we need men of great godly convictions that's passing them on to the next generation. We have too many people with no morals or godly character that are being upheld as role models. There's got to be a generation of fathers who step up to the plate and will display godly convictions in the face of all of the corruption that we see around us. We got to realize that our children need to see an example of fathers standing strong with godly convictions. The spiritual well-being, I believe, of our nation depends upon our children seeing fathers with godly convictions that's willing to stand strong in the face of every adversity. You know, as you look at it, David was a godly father, but he wasn't perfect. Far from it, but he was called a man after God's own heart. Why? When he made mistakes, he was quick to correct them. Sure, David sinned against God and man, but he was quick to repent and make restitution. When David was confronted by the prophet, he immediately acknowledged this, his wrongdoing. Yeah, his children probably knew about his mistakes, but they also saw the forgiveness of God in his life and his love for God. You know, David's, I believe his convictions became a moral compass for his life. You know, you probably can, Psalms 119 is the lengthiest of all the Psalms, but it probably shows his strong convictions for the power of God more than maybe anything else. It seems like that every verse speaks of David's convictions and beliefs. Now, as we look at this, we can see David was a man of compassion. David's words are filled with compassion for his son. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not forsake you. David had been very successful. He was a successful musician, soldier, administrator, king. David was a godly father that loved his family, and that outweighed everything. You know, I stand here today, my father was known internationally as the modern day father of faith, an author, radio personality, noted Bible teacher, prophet of God. And I never will forget, as he, those last few days, and all the people were coming, and my daughter and my niece, her cousin, Cookie, came to me and they said, Dad, we've shared Pawpaw with the world. Can for these last few days, can we just have him for us? I said, yeah. And I closed the door and nobody went in but family. Some people got upset at me. But as a father, you got a, and an uncle, I had to make a hard decision. Cut off the world for my family, and I did. I took it on the chin. Who cares? Those girls asked for something that I could give them, and I did. That's what a father does. I remember him not as the prophet, not as the Bible teacher, preacher, although he was one of the best. What I treasure most are those father and son times. when we were together. My sophomore year in high school, I traveled with him all over the state of California, from the Oregon border to the Mexican border, down on the other side of San Diego, and from Torona out in the Death Valley over to Santa Monica and Elmont over on the coast. But every afternoon, he would get a baseball or a softball bat and a bushel basket of softballs, and I would take a glove, and he'd say, "You get in center field, and wherever I hit the ball, you go get it. Make every effort to catch it." Those were great times that I remember. But I guess I was fast anyway, and I guess my wife will tell you, I played fast pitch softball there in Garland and our team from the church, and I was known as one of the best outfielders in the area. But you know why? Because of my dad. You know, I would say whatever success he had in life, the most success, I think, was he was just my dad. You know, I got three of my five grandsons sitting there. I got my son sitting there, my daughter. You know, I love spending time with all of them. Because when we get together and we do go out to eat together and stuff, I'm not preacher. I'm not pastor. I'm not the head of a worldwide ministry and Rhema's all over the world. I'm just dad and poppy. That's my most cherished moments. It's important, dads, to have those kind of moments with your children as they grow up. I had them with Denise and Craig. I've had them with my grandsons. Compassion for family is very important. As you study David, it seems he gave his children everything they wanted, seemed to be. I think each generation does this. I know I've done it. I know my dad. Each generation is a little bit better off financially, usually. And they try to give more. Maybe sometimes to their disadvantage. But if any of those five boys come to me and ask for something, if I can possibly make it happen, I do. David's children took advantage of him. His own son, Absalom, tried to take the throne away from him. And when David heard that his son, Absalom, was killed, he mourned unmercifully. In fact, he said he wished it would have been him instead of his son. You know, a father's love is not conditioned by a child's conduct. It is unconditional. You know, mom gets to carry the child for 9 months. But I never will forget Back when my kids were born, you didn't go into the delivery room, and some of you sitting here were the same way. But when they rolled Craig first and then Denise, because that's what I had wanted and that's what I'd prayed for a long time. And I looked down into those kids' faces. I knew right then that didn't make any difference what happened. I would protect them. I would give my life for them if necessary. That's the compassion that comes into a father's heart when he looks into the face of that child for the first time. I get any of you guys that agree with me? I can see a lot of people shaking heads. Fathers, you know, we have a great responsibility. That is to set an example of how to live naturally and spiritually. How to be successful in both areas. We have a responsibility to teach moral values and display godly compassion. Fathers, we need to be men of compassion. There's another thing that I see in this man David. He was a man of courage. All you got to do is read about his life. He faced lions and bears and killed a giant. He battled the enemies of Israel. He even refrained from killing King Saul when he had the opportunity. Often it takes more courage not to do something than it does to do something. But where did David's courage come from? It came from his belief and his trust in God. His example of courage, he wasn't afraid of man. He wasn't afraid to stand up for what was right. He wasn't afraid to die for his beliefs if necessary. We need men of courage. Men with godly principles that will stand up and refuse to back down. You know, it seems that in the world today, men are pictured as weak, wimpy. On TV, you can see it. Why? Because the devil is wanting to destroy men. Because if he can destroy and tear down their convictions and their courage and their compassion, he can win the world. Because it's that strong father that will stand with conviction, with courage, with compassion, and say, family, this is the way we live. This is the way we do it. You see, Jesus Christ showed us love. Men, he showed us love unconditionally. He showed us courage. And he showed us commitment. Jesus went to the cross. He gave his life because he loved us so much that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In the natural, we can't do that. God did it for us spiritually. Jesus did. But in the natural, man, we can give to our families and our kids and our grandkids. We can show them the way. We can lead them in the way. We just don't tell them about conviction. We just don't tell them about compassion. We just don't tell them about courage. We show them. We demonstrate it to them. Do you know it's said that people learn more by your action than they do by your words spoken? Tell a funny on camera. My wife says it's bad, but I do it anyway, I guess. I have a habit if I'm outside, and I'll just spit. Well, Cameron was in daycare, and he spit on the floor, and they told him, "You can't do that." And he said, "Poppy does." So I had to try to curtail that. Because, see, he learned from my action. We need to realize, guys, that if we want our children to be involved in athletics, then we show them and we teach them. If we want them to be strong as they can be academically, then we show them how. And remember, every child is different. Don't try to make them measure up to big brother or big sister. Because everyone's different. But you can show them how to have conviction. You can show them how to have courage. And you can show them how to have compassion. Those are just some things that I thought I might just share with you today. I don't know whether you even call this a sermon or not. But I can tell you one thing. I had a father that showed me every one of those. I saw his love for me, my sis, and his family. Back when mom was having to stay home with us and he was traveling all over preaching, get in that 49 Oldsmobile and drive 22 straight hours just to eat breakfast with us and get in the car and drive another 8 hours to start a meeting somewhere. I watched him do that time and time again. I watched him close a meeting and he still was going on, but I'm off from school on Friday. He'd drive, after the meeting, he'd drive 4 or 5 hours, pick me up, and we'd drive back, and I'd be with him Friday, Saturday. He would preach on Sunday and then drive me back so I could go to school on Monday. You see, he taught me convictions, courage. In closing, I want to read something that I sent to. I send every Sunday, I send something to a bunch of ministers. I'm going to read you what I sent them because I think it fits. Happy Father's Day. My dad left me something my dad left me some things that have shaped my life. He knew the Bible and encouraged me to study the Word. He knew how to have faith in God and taught me to have faith. He knew the plan of God for his life and encouraged me to seek the plan, to seek God's plan for my life. That's part of the legacy he left me. And I asked you, as I asked myself, am I leaving a legacy for my children and grandchildren and others to follow? I asked every father in here that question. Only you can answer that by the way you lead your family. Heavenly Father, I've spoken for just a few moments today. Help us all, as fathers, to think soberly today and to make sure that we're doing what we should do. All the fathers stand, please. Kids in here, if you're here, wives, gather around the leader of your house, your dad. So do that right now. All you family members close by, get up and get by. Wives, stand up with your husbands. I realize some of you are here without your family, but your wife can be there. And other, if you see a man standing and nobody's with him, go over and stand and pray with him. I want each one to pray for your dad, your father. Pray for the family. Go ahead. Heavenly Father, right now, standing in this place are men that are willing to stand up and say, I'll lead my family. I'll show them what commitment, conviction, courage, and compassion mean. Not only with my words, but with my actions and with my deeds. Father, help me to be the best father that I can be. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Help me to correct them. Thank you for helping me to make tomorrow a great day. I can't change the past, Lord, but I can change the future. And I thank you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know this has been sobering, but I think it's something that we need. I am so thankful for the men in this church. I had a minister say to me, you can be seated if you want. The other day he said, you seem to have a lot of men in your church. How's that happen? I said, I don't know. then I think my wife spoke up and said, it's because you're a real man yourself. I didn't say that to get applause. I said that to show you. Men, if you lead properly, your kids will be there right with you all the way. Hallelujah. Trust you got something out of this today. I didn't know how or exactly what I was going to say, how I was going to say it. I just knew I had something in my heart and had some notes down on the paper, and I just started. I said, well, Lord, here we go. And I believe he helped me. Because looking at the man David, I think he's somebody we can pattern after. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bow your head for just a moment. If you happen to be in this congregation today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So let me see your hand right now. I can't do that if I don't know who you are. Anybody in the room right now, anywhere, anybody, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, please. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God that seemed like all of us are part of the family of God. Thank you, Father, that we are all in your family. And you are our Heavenly Father. But if there happened to be one person under the sound of my voice that needs to receive your Son Jesus or to rededicate their life, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they will not be able to do anything until they stop and accept your Son and rededicate themselves in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, where's the first-time guest? Go find our first-time guest and take them to get that special gift, please, connection team. And like we said, if you're looking for a church home, what? Welcome home. Just come and join our family. We have a great time. Staff, y'all can make your way to the doors right now so we can shake hands with you. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock. You didn't have anything you wanted to sing, did you? Okay. I always ask because sometimes they have something and I don't ask. And so I've decided I'll just start asking every time. If they don't, they just say, I ain't got nothing. That's good too. Amen. Hey, Wednesday night, Our Power. Hey, don't forget about all of the announcements. And we need workers for the daycare. God bless. We'll see you tonight.